Well, good morning. Again, I like that. I like that earlier. I feel like I should do that again. He is risen. Indeed, he is risen. Come on, life, love, and peace and joy. Like that. Well, as we kick in, I'm gonna just ask if Pat. Where's Pat? Pat, would you mind coming to share a testimony? I hear testimonies throughout the week, and every Sunday I hear testimonies. I would just like for Pat just to share one with us before I just begin to teach. Sure.
So one of the things the Bible keeps talking about throughout, God says, remember these things. And he also says, speak them when you go by the way. So there's something really powerful about hearing what God's doing. We say things like Christ is risen, and that is powerful. But it's also powerful to hear what God is actually doing. And so one of the incredible things is to see how God moves in ways that we look at and we say, well, gosh, that couldn't be anything but God. And so a couple of weeks ago, a woman who's long time had been in our church, is in a different church now, she hasn't been here in about 10 years. This is the only time she's been in 10 years. And there was a word for something going on in your hip. And she said, that's me. So she came up for prayer. And after praying for a little bit, a couple of us, Jim and I were praying for her hip was healed to about 50%. She said, wow. She said, I've actually got movement in it now. And we said, well, God, thank you so much for that. Can we keep praying? So we prayed and she said, it's about 95% healed, which is great. But then on top of that, God had something specific he wanted to do for her. Personally, when I pray for people, I keep everybody's anonymity. I don't try and say things unless the person releases me and says, oh yeah, you can tell about that. But she posted it online, so obviously she didn't want it to stay necessarily anonymous in the whole thing. But God had some very specific things that he wanted to say to her, and part of it was some things that she imagines. She said, she put it in her thing. She said, there's no way anybody could know this because it's in my imagination. And God gave a very specific word, a very specific picture about this is what you see. And she started to cry because it was in her imagination. There's no way anybody could climb in her mind and see it. And so for her, it was one of those incredible aha moments of, oh my gosh, God sees me. And so that's the blessing that God gave her, and that's how God works. He walks in at just the right time often and does things that are just so specific that, oh my gosh, there is a God.
Thank you, Lord. So this morning I'm going to be speaking about Resurrection Sunday, and I want you to know, just if you're comfortable to do this, if not, that's fine, but why don't you hold out your hand for a bit, and I just want to pray and just say, Lord, won't you just begin to pour out in a fresh way how much you love us? Why don't you just pour out? Lord, we request, we come to you in faith, knowing that you're the God of grace. And we ask, Lord, that you may just pour out how much you love us. And I know, Lord, that Jesus Christ on the cross was the pinnacle, it was the top, it was everything to express how much you love us. And so I ask that you just help us to get a fresh and a deeper revelation of this love, even this morning, in Jesus' name. And whatever, Holy Spirit, you want to do, come and do that. Amen. So, you know, my key scripture is from John 10, verse 10. It's from John 10, and it's living a resurrection life. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that we could one day walk golden roads, as we think, right? He came so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. He came so that, yes, we do get to live eternally in his presence and with him, but he came so that we may know him and know him to the fuller, to the fullest. He came so that we can really experience the resurrection life. This is a life that really carries joy, hope, faith, love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. This is the kind of life. The life that Jesus died for us for wasn't so that we could have tons of material possessions. It was so that there was this much more than that. You know, God cares about our material possessions, don't get me wrong. But the point is much more, it's much more than just material possessions. In fact, that's an outworking of what's really, really important, which is eternal life and eternity in relationship, in intimacy with God. Knowing Him because He knows us. And we get to make that choice whether we want to know God that way or whether we want to just live a life of hey, man, just live a life where Christianity is more of like just a religious exercise to us. No, God wants us to have a living relationship with Him. And the resurrection life is one where Holy Spirit comes because of what Jesus did on the cross. Holy Spirit comes, He lives in us, and He begins to transform us from the inside out into more Christ-likeness, is what Scripture says. This is great news. Because we truly begin to understand and live life when this becomes a reality to us, as we grow in that. You see, God doesn't want us to live in works, in labor, for relationship, for salvation. God doesn't want us to live in a way that we live in formulas and rituals to somehow attain to goodness or to somehow attain to salvation. This is not what it's about. I'll go through the scriptures soon. This is not what God expected. God doesn't want us to feel like we don't measure up. God doesn't want us to feel condemned. God doesn't want us to feel hopeless. God doesn't want us to feel like we're not accepted, that somehow we got there's this God somewhere on this higher plane that's judging us or looking down on us and saying, well, let's see how much you can do. This is not the God of the Bible. Whoever taught you that was the God of the Bible, if they did, not saying they did, but if anyone does, it's not good news, is it?
No.
So then how can the Bible call it good news? So let's look at the scriptures. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And at the end of this teaching, I'll begin to show you what that is in the Greek. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I've just explained to you what the full is. The only thing that prevents us from walking into the fullness is our sin. The Westminster Catechism says sin is any lack of conformity to the will of God. Any lack of conformity to the will of God. Now, when we begin to just investigate that just a little, we begin to look and we begin to say, well, hang on. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right in Genesis, if you don't know what I'm speaking about, it's in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. You can go read that, and it begins to show us, it says, Adam and Eve disobeyed what God had said. He said, don't go eat, okay, I'm just making it simple here, paraphrasing in a sense. He said, don't go eat from the tree, right, of the knowledge of good and evil. But mankind decided, the representatives of mankind, representing mankind, decided to go and say, well, I think I know better. And so we see right from the beginning that in our very nature, the Bible says, in our very nature, we're sinful. And the second thing about that is that we're no different, by the way, from Adam and Eve, just so you know. Somehow we've also landed up in a place where we've gone like, well, you know what? I think I get to decide what is good and bad here in this world. Rather than going to the Word of God, and number two, which is just as important, rather than having an intimate relationship, remaining in Jesus and knowing Him, rather than knowing the Word and remaining in Him, we decide what we think it should be like. And it's become pretty tough. I mean, I wasn't always a pastor, right? As little as I am, I played rugby. Got hurt a lot. You know what I'm talking about. And point is that when I truly encountered the love of the Father expressed through Jesus Christ on the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, when I truly experienced what Jesus did on the cross for me brought me in and paid the penalty for the sins, the lack of conformity to the will of God. And the second thing I realized as I grew more and more, I realized that, you know what? It's not possible for me to even live up to the standard that God's asking me to live up to, because He's holy, He's perfect. I can't live up to that in my own strength. It took a holy, perfect, spotless, blameless God to die on the cross. And Jesus willingly did it in joy for you and me. So that I can just say, yes, Jesus. And I enter into this eternal relationship. You see, eternity, the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign, that's what the kingdom means, the king's dominion or the kingdom domain. The king's rule and reign gets to live, I get to live in and around it as Holy Spirit fills me when I get saved, when I enter into salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ. So let's begin to look at what I've just said a little bit more. Before I do that, Romans 3 verse 23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified." That word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Okay? So basically it says, all have sinned, have fallen, and cannot conform to the will of God. And all are as if they'd never sinned freely by His grace. What is grace? It's the favor extended to us by the Father because He loves us. Okay? Through the redeeming of us that came by Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is the key to all of the resurrection life in our life. We are not supposed to remain at the cross. The cross is everything, but the cross is more than just remaining in our space and place of, oh, woe is me. It's that God is saying, yes, come and realize that you're a sinner, because there's no way you can conform to my will fully. Realize that, come to me, and I will set you free. I've paid the penalty. It's as if, just imagine, here's a quick little story. There's these two friends, you probably know the story. There's these two friends, and they grow up as two little kids, right? They grow up, and their lives take two separate paths. You've heard this, right? The one becomes an attorney and later on a judge, and the other one becomes a criminal. But they were really good friends, right? When they grew up, but their lives just, you know, went different routes. As they grew up, let's for the sake of the story say the one went to live in New Jersey and the other one went to Arizona. I don't know. But somehow along the way, they both land up in Michigan. And the one is a judge in Michigan and the other one is a criminal. And before long, the criminal lands up in the court with the judge, his friend. His very close friend. And the judge sits there and realizes, well, the law is the law. I can't change it for my friend. So what now? And the friend that's the criminal is sitting there going like, oh my word, this is my friend, I know him, but he is a judge. What's going to happen? And the judge sits there, the friend that's the judge, sits there, pronounces judgment of a payment. Let's say the payment is $2 million. Boom. And the criminal sits there and says, I can't pay that $2 million. He's thinking to himself, right? But then the judge pronounces the judgment, says $2 million, climbs off from where he is the judge, takes his judge hat off, pulls out a check and signs the check for $2 million and hands it to his friend that's a criminal. And that's kind of what Jesus did for us. Much more, though, but you get the picture, right? So let's look at salvation. For it is by grace, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved. Grace, the favor of God. He loves us unconditionally. If it wasn't unconditional, it wouldn't make sense. It's unconditional. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Listen, not by works, so that no one can boast. We're not saved by our works. Let me make it very clear. You don't come to God when you're perfect. Yeah. You come to Him the way you are and you say, Lord, I can't live up to it. What do I do? I can't live up to this. How do I do it? And Jesus says, oh, my son, or my daughter, my child, I've done everything for you. You can try to really not lie as much, but even a little white lie is still a lie. It still makes you fall short. You see, in a holy God's presence, if sin enters, it'll be consumed. Therefore, Jesus had to come. God and man had to come and die on the cross for us. And now we can enter boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. This should be good news. Even as a Christian, by the way, we should never live at trying to do a whole lot of things in our own strength alone to try and live up to this impossible standard of, you can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. That is why we have Holy Spirit living in us, because He empowers us and transforms us. In fact, once Holy Spirit comes and resides in you, right, who the Son says free is? Free indeed. It is truth that sets you free. Therefore, we need a holy, perfect Savior to pay the cost for us. And yes, it's a bit paradoxical, but as we begin to search who Jesus is and who God is, it becomes very clear to us. Number two, we are saved by grace through faith. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I've read this, and are all justified just as if you've never sinned, freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God's part is actually the difficult part, people. Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty. This is God's favor on us, and it is a free gift. The computer would not let me type in a free gift, because the computer got a little befuddled by that word, because a gift is usually free. So each time I type up free gift, the computer would go, gift. I say, it's a free gift. The computer goes, gift. So I was like, ignore. It's important to realize it's free, because oftentimes gifts are given with strings attached. But Jesus doesn't. So the computer didn't realize that. Okay, let's move on. Our part to receive the gift, the free gift, is actually the easy part. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God, is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance, the word repentance is the Greek word metanoia, and the Greek word metanoia means to change your mind. So what does that mean for me in repentance? It means to agree with what God is saying. And what are we agreeing with? We're agreeing with this very simply. We're agreeing with this. We're saying, yes, I am a sinner. It's as simple as that. I do get things wrong. I do hurt people. I do hurt the heart of God. I hurt people. Now you're going, well, Sheldon, how are you connecting those two? Well, very simply, in the New Testament it says, a new commandment I give to you. To love one another as I have loved you. The greatest commandment in the Bible is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and some versions say strength. And then it is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So love is intricately connected to this understanding of repentance. I don't know if this is quite happening. I don't know if I'm communicating it so well this morning, but I hope that you're getting to the point where you're realizing that there's no way you can live up to that standard in your own strength. You're going to burn yourself out. And religion is going to become so distasteful to you, you're going to go, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Instead of just receiving the free gift of Jesus Christ, when He comes and He says, hey, I don't want you to be full of shame and guilt. I don't want you to be hopeless. I don't want you not to have joy. I don't want you to not understand what peace is in every situation. I don't want you to not understand the kindness of the kingdom. I want you to understand these things in this fullness. And if you come to me just as you are, and you accept what I've done on the cross, just that's it. Say, I believe Jesus, you did it. You're the Son of God. You died on the cross. You paid this penalty. I don't have to do it. You'll see the change. When I first got saved, I struggled a little bit with salvation in the beginning, if I'm being very frank. Oh, I'm not Frank, I'm Sheldon. That's a dad joke. But if I'm being just real, I don't want to say honest because it sounds like I was lying. I'm not doing anything with that one. But here's the point. Here's the point. I struggled with salvation because I was taught all the time I had to do a whole lot of stuff to be ready for salvation. I was taught that I had rituals to do. I had traditions to abide to. There were formulas for me to. And even when I'd said to Jesus, oh, Lord, I accept you. After that, then the pylon really began. Oh, now you know, Sheldon, you're a Christian now. You know, the people taught me you shouldn't lie. I'm like, but I can't help myself. I'm used to it. Think about it. Oh, Sheldon, you shouldn't act that way. That was just so naughty of you. I say, but that's all I've known for my whole life. Until someone sat me down one day and said, you know what? You're trying too hard. And I was like, what do you mean I'm being a good Christian? He's like, no, you're being a really hardworking Christian. But I wonder if you've understood, Sheldon, that it's grace through faith. It's grace through believing in Jesus Christ. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And through a process of time, it really began to dawn on me. Right? And I began to go, oh, guess what? When Jesus ascended into heaven in the Gospels, when he ascended, he said, I'm sending you a helper. And that word there is advocate. Okay, to exhort, to comfort, to edify you, to call out the best into you, best out of you, and not only that, but to empower you to change. And I went, oh, you mean I don't have to do this all on my own? He's like, no. If you trust in me, in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and you remain, John 15:4, if you remain in me, the fruit of Holy Spirit will grow in you. And you'll begin to experience joy like you've never experienced. And when I truly grasp salvation, I've said this before here, I kind of walked up from out of that place the next morning, and it was weird. This is the only way I can explain it. There's nothing else I can do. I can't help you there, right? Jesus can. Everything looked more colorful, and everything smelled better. Yes. I mean, it sounds weird to say it that way, right? It was like, oh, Sheldon. But it's true. I felt like this heavy burden had peeled off of me. And I felt like life had more meaning and it was better. And then there were supernatural works, which I can't talk about this morning, that got done in my life. But let's move on. You're getting it, right? Is this good news? Okay, now very quickly, I want to take you through another scripture. And then I want to end off with John 10:10 fully. 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13. John, the apostle of love. You see how this all ties? Is it connecting? No. And the testimony is this. The Father wants you to not only enter his rest. How do I know this? Scripture says it again. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, let's move on. 1 John 5, 11 to 13 says, and the testimony is this. Is it there? Yeah. And the testimony is this. God has given us eternal life. We already possess it in Christ, right? And this life is in who? His Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. Come on. Amen. Now you go like, what? What kind of God is this? This is a good God. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have that life or the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life in Jesus. You see, there in verse 11, 12, and 13, John makes it very clear. He said, God has given us eternal life. He who has the Son has life, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't need to feel like you have eternal life, like you get the feels. You accept Jesus as, you say, Lord, I just put my faith in you, I trust you. And by the way, you only need faith as small as a mustard seed, probably even smaller. When you go fly in an aeroplane from one side of the world to the other side of the world, like some of us have done here, right? You're putting a lot of faith in that pilot, right? Well, guess what? You need less faith than that to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's good news. You just need to say yes. You see, intellectually, you can say yes, Lord. With your heart, you say, yeah, Lord, I receive that. It's true. I'll just receive it. Now, you don't have to get the feels then suddenly, you know. You don't need the goosebumps. You don't need the fire coming out of your ears or something. You don't need a shake. Okay, you don't need any of these weird things. Now, if you get them, oh, good on you. You get a bit of core exercise. Okay, nothing wrong with that. It doesn't matter. The point is, you're just saying, yes, Lord. And God wants you to know that it's not about what you think or what you feel. He wants you to be assured of salvation by trusting his word. If he says it is done and it is finished, it is done and it is finished. And then lastly, I want to end off with this scripture, John 10:10, and I want to just run through a few words in there for you to help understand this resurrected life that God's calling you into. Firstly, it's eternal. And the main, most important thing is you can get to know God personally through his word and through personal revelation via Holy Spirit. And two, God wants you to experience that eternal kind of kingdom in the now unto eternity forever. When Jesus came, he said, I came, and by the way, the fullness came in Jesus. Right? The fulfillment of it is still yet to come, but we have the fullness in Christ. Okay. Let's look at this word, John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. That's the Amplified. The word thief, firstly, is the word kleptis, and that's the Greek word kleptis, and it means that the enemy is a thief. It's who he is. It's his identity. It's part of his identity. He is a thief. And then the next word, to steal, is the word klepto, and that's where we get kleptomaniac from, right? It's the word klepto, and this means someone who steals. So not only does he have that as part of his identity, but he is somebody who will steal. What does he steal? Here's the thing. The enemy comes to steal eternal life from you, and he comes to steal the experience and the encounter of that eternal life that you will live in eternally, and we get to receive in the now through Holy Spirit. He wants to steal that life from you. Uh-oh. Help me, Jesus. The word kill is the word thuo, meaning to make a religious sacrifice. And this is the one where the enemy gets, oftentimes rather, gets us as human beings and even as Christians. The idea here, and this is from Rick Renner, the idea here is that when the enemy wants us to kind of live with religious sacrifices. He wants us to think that if we do religious works and if we kind of live in a way that is works-based, somehow we'll attain salvation. So he gets us as Christians and as people in the world tied up with doing the things that only God can do. And this is what it means when he says he comes to kill. He comes to kill the gospel truth in us. Isn't that amazing? Man, he wants to get me busy all the time. Nothing wrong with being busy, by the way. But when I'm getting busy because somehow I think that's going to make me a better Christian or somehow attain salvation, that's not a good thing. The word destroy is opolemi, meaning to ruin, to waste, being lost, rendered useless, devastated, destroyed. And the idea here is that word opolemi fits in with the idea that in those days, way back in the day, they used to have shoes that were kind of tied together. And if you untie those shoes, they unravel and they fall apart. And they're useless. They're devastated. You can't use them anymore. Unless, of course, you sit and try to put them all back together, you know, that kind of thing. The point in the thinking process is that what the enemy is trying to do is unravel you, is to get us to live in a state of fear, to get us to live in a state of like, oh my word, if I don't, then God's going to sit and punish me. Oh my word, how do I attain this salvation? Oh my word, I can't get there. Oh my word, am I good enough? Oh my word, I better sing praise songs this Sunday 3 times more. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Jesus, please. Nothing wrong with worship. Worship is good. Singing songs, I'm talking musical ministry, music worship, right? Because worship is that place where we put God first. That's real worship, right? Where we make the Lord the king of our hearts, basically. Where we say, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious God. Temptation loses power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me. Yeah, I always forget that part. That's because I'm so needy. I'm like, I need thee, Jesus. But it's true. I really do. I really need Jesus all the time. I need to know him more. I need to hang out with Jesus more. How do I do that? Well, I read his word and I sit there and I say, Holy Spirit, won't you come talk to me through your scriptures? And he does. And we've done a teaching here on hearing the voice of God. If you've never heard that teaching, we'll do it again. But there's a lot of scripture that speaks about that, which I'm not going to get into this morning. So if you want to know more, please come join us at one of those when we do it again. So God longs for, so here the word life, by the way, let me just move on from destroy now. I came that they may have, possess it now unto eternity, and enjoy life. Enjoy, right? I like looking at it this way. I'm in joy, and joy is in me because of Holy Spirit, because of Jesus Christ. Okay, and we can rejoice. The word re is experience joy over and over and over again. Okay, anyway, so I love this. It's the word Zoe here, and it means to have life physically and spiritually. And what that means is physically means in the now, and spiritually means in the future. For eternity, in other words. So Jesus is really saying that the resurrected life that I've come to give you is not just for one day. It's for now. You can experience the kingdom of God now. Through Christ, by power of Holy Spirit. It's an interesting experience for me because at first when I got saved, I was like, well, how is this going to happen? I don't know if anyone's ever asked that question before. How am I going to be transformed? How am I going to change? Right? But then a couple years later, I look back and I go, oh, I am different. Look at me. I am so different. I can't do this, but if I was cooler, I could, but I'm just going to do it. Okay. Okay, let's move on. So Zoe is that life, that physical and spiritually, it's eternally. In Matthew 6:33, we get to see again the heart of the Father for us, our God who loves us, who says, seek ye first the kingdom, rule and reign of God, and his righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Jesus is our righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. Okay? Now, what is this, all these things? Well, if you go read just before Matthew 6:33, it begins to list that it begins to take care of our needs. It begins to take care of our inner world and our outer world. Our in the now and our in the future. This is in the Bible. And it's amazing. I'm so glad that the God that I serve first came to find me. Not me have to find my way and approve my way to him. But he came looking for me. And when he found me, he died just so that we can have a love relationship. And as all I need to do is say, Jesus, I accept. That's it. It's just say, Jesus, I accept. I don't even fully grasp it. I don't even fully get it. But I know in my knowing that this is true somehow. And I receive it and I accept it. That's it. Let God do the rest. Isn't that a great God? Yes. But Sheldon, I like knowing what the plan is. I like knowing how to achieve. I like that. Well, trust me. God will talk to you and tell you stuff. And he'll relate to you. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is not, Father God, through Jesus Christ, is not asking you for anything except say yes. And watch what happens. True life, eternal life. I mean, this is no joke, right? Because basically, I have an option here. I could have eternal life or I could not have eternal life. And because God loves me and he will never force his way in my life or onto me, he'll never force. He will not, because true love does not force. But he will always invite and always knock on the door of your heart and always call you in. Okay. Then I want to end with the word abundance. And I love this word. This is the word perisos, and it means abundantly. Listen carefully here. Abundantly, excessively, exceedingly abundant, in extraordinary measure. A river overflowing and flooding its banks. Plentiful and super abundant. I'm ending with this. A river overflowing its banks. I love, because this is just me. Don't build your whole theology on this. This is, as I was reading it, it just struck me that the Bible talks about Holy Spirit as living waters. So think about this. God wants to fill us so much with his presence that we may know him so much that it will burst the banks of what we think and experience as possible. For no ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor has it ever entered into the hearts of men.
All that God has prepared for those who love him. Amen.
Did you hear that? Okay, come here please, sir, if you don't mind. I just want you to repeat just that scripture. Is that okay? I'm going to hold the mic so that you don't fall over or anything, but come and stand here. Just repeat that scripture.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered into the hearts of man all that God has prepared for those who love him.
What? Thank you. Bless you. What? Man, I've told you this before. The church should be the most joyous place in the world.
Yeah.
Because we have actual true life. So let me just end with this. And then we're going to go into just a time of just receiving. Let me end with this. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ willingly, for the joy that he faced. Who or what was the joy? You and I were the joy that he had in mind. He loved you so much. He looks at you and he says, it's joyful for me to die on the cross for your sins and pay the price. And it's so simple. It's saying, yes, Jesus, I'll accept. Accept what you've done. And from then on, let God begin to develop us as we follow his lead. And he empowers us.